Jumping Jenny by Anthony Barclay, adapted for broadcasting by H. Oldfield Box. Jumping Jenny.
This way. They're through the sun powder here, Roger. Out on the roof. Mind that step, Colin.
Aye, aye.
Well, there's the exhibit. What do you think of it?
Very effective, Ronnie. Charming, in fact, isn't it, Colin?
Oh, delightful. Just what the doctor ordered to soothe our nerves and give us sweet dreams. A morbid old devil, aren't you, Ronald? The result of writing those blood-curdling whodunits of yours, I suppose.
Oh, dash it, this is a fancy dress party I'm giving. And when murder is the theme, I like to set the scene properly.
And so you have, Ronnie. Three gallows with nooses and hanging dummies. Two jumping jacks and one jumping Jenny.
Jumping Jenny?
Well, doesn't Stevenson and Catriona call them jumping jacks? So I suppose the feminine would be jumping Jenny.
Oh, I get you.
And jump they do in this wind. You know, I'd hate to be hanged.
Aye. So ignominious, to say the least of it.
Well, I've no intention of being.
Nor have I, Roger. I mean to die in my bed like a gentleman. Well, that's that. I've shown you my masterpiece, and you've duly admired it. Let's go down now and have a drink before we join the others in the ballroom. I've rigged up a bar in the room leading out of it, which I'm almost as proud of. Oh, never mind that step, Colin, you klutz. Now then, follow me. Dancing to the gramophone in there, liquid refreshment in here. All laid out on that table. Oh, hello, Philip. On your own?
Yes, Ronald. Been working like a steed all day, so I felt the need of a pick-me-up.
Oh, well, we'll join you. Help yourselves, chaps. Don't wait to be asked. Let me see, Philip. Colin Nicholson, you know.
Oh, yes, rather. Cheers, Colin.
Cheers, Philip. Nice to see you again.
But Roger, you haven't yet met. Our modern Sherlock Holmes. The terror of all lawbreakers, Roger Sheringham. Dr. Philip Chalmers.
How do you do? How do you do, Mr. Sheringham? Your name's very familiar to me, of course.
Good. It all helps business.
Well, I hope I shall never need your professional assistance. One never knows. Ah, yours must be interesting work.
It has its moments, Dr. Chalmers. But like every other job, it's most of it dull routine.
Yeah, I suppose so. Ah, here comes my wife. Laura, dear, come and meet Mr. Sheringham.
Well, how do you do, Mrs. Chalmers?
How do you do? Hello, Colin.
Hello, Laura.
You have a drink?
No, thanks, Ronald. I've come in search of this husband of mine. Philip, I want to dance.
Oh, very well, dear. I'll just finish this. There, Laura. Now I'm at your service. We'll get together later, Sheringham. Criminology is one of my pet hobbies.
I say it is. Famous crimes and that sort of thing are his favorite bedside books, Mr. Sheringham. The trouble I have at nights in getting him to turn the light out and let me get to sleep, you'd never believe. And no sooner is it out than the damn phone rings, and it's one of his patients wanting him.
Ah, you shouldn't have married a doctor, my dear. I gave you fair warning. Well, lead on, Laura, into the dance. So long, Ronald.
So long, Philip. Now that, Roger, is one of the nicest fellows living, isn't he, Colin?
Aye. Philip Chalmers is one in a million.
Best liked man in the whole neighborhood. His family and mine were more or less brought up together. No, he is really a closer friend of my brother's than mine. He and my brother David are the same age. 2 years younger than I am. Well, Dave?
Poor? Why, what's wrong with him?
Nothing with him, personally. It's his wife, Ina, that's his trouble. Ina's impossible. Ask Colin, he knows. It's no secret.
Ah, she's a blasted egomaniac. Must be the center of everyone's attention or she behaves like a lunatic. Oh, Lord, here she comes. Excuse me, I'll slip off into the ballroom.
Oh, hello, Ina.
Hello, Colin. Ronald, I've a bone to pick with you. David tells him Mr. Sheringham's come. You've introduced him, but you've not bothered to introduce me.
He has come, Ina, and here he is. Roger, this is my brother's wife, Ina Stratton.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Sheringham? No, you don't look like a detective. But then, how ought a detective to look? Oh, mix me a whiskey, will you, Ronald? A good stiff one.
Right, Ina. Whiskey coming up. There, dear.
Thanks. Oh, that's better. Oh, I feel like getting tight tonight. Oh, there are times when getting drunk seems the only thing worth doing. Do you ever feel like that, Mr. Sheringham?
No, not exactly.
Oh, I do, often. I mean, what's the purpose of life? What's the sense of it all?
Ina, dear, do cut it out. Talk of something sensible.
I am. Don't be so damn rude, Ronald. David! David, come here.
Yes? Yes? What is it, Ina?
Ronald's just introduced me to Mr. Sheringham. Only because I asked him, mind you. If I hadn't, he wouldn't have bothered.
Oh, nonsense.
It isn't nonsense. And now, if you please, he's insulting me right in front of Mr. Sheringham's face.
Ina, I'm sure he's not.
Yes, he did. He told me to shut up.
Don't be silly. You've been drinking too much.
No, I haven't. Not for me, I haven't. Takes a couple of bottles to put me under the table. And Mr. Sheringham, we'll have a tete-a-tete later, when Ronald isn't there. David, take me back to the ballroom.
All right, Ina. Come along, then.
Oh, I'm coming. What is it they're dancing now? A quick step?
There, Roger. Do you see what I mean?
I do see. I'm looking forward to our tete-a-tete, as she called it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, no, I mean it. I'm a student of human nature, remember? Of abnormal types, in particular.
Mm, she's abnormal, all right. Oh, hello, Williams. What are you doing hiding behind that door?
Seeking shelter, Ronald. But now that the coast's clear, I can come out of hiding. Oh, that sister-in-law of yours, David's wife.
Well, what's she been up to, Williams?
What hasn't she? Not having met her before, I was crazy enough to ask her to dance with me. She said she'd rather sit out, so we did. And Ronald, is she mad?
Absolutely.
I thought she must be. 15 whole minutes I had of her before I managed to escape. That explains my hiding act, old boy. Excuse me, I'm going out to get some fresh air. Oh, my Lord, what a woman.
Poor old Williams. Well, Roger, still looking forward to that tete-a-tete?
More than ever. I'm positively impatient for it.
Well, take my warning. She's not only mad, she's dangerous. Being unhappy herself, her guiding principle is to wreck everyone else's happiness. If there's any beastly lying scandal going about the place, you can bet your life that she's got the story started. You want another drink?
No, thanks. Not yet a while. By the way, Ronnie, I've been here for 20 minutes and you've not yet introduced me to your wife.
I haven't got one.
What? But I always thought...
Well, I did have, but that marriage packed up. We had a divorce.
Oh, I see.
Oh, a very amicable one. We both fell in love with someone else, so it worked out splendidly. Parted the best of friends. Margot's married again. Matter of fact, she's here tonight with her new husband. And I'm soon going to be married.
Oh, and your fiancé? Is she here too?
Of course. Well, come along into the ballroom and meet her.
Right.
She's the world's eighth wonder, old boy. Fell for her hook, line and sinker the first moment I clapped eyes on her. Agatha, darling.
Oh, hello, Ronnie.
Darling, this is Roger. Mrs. Lefroy, Roger Sheringham.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Sheringham?
How do you do?
Well, I'll get back to my social duties and leave you two to get acquainted. But remember, Agatha, we're having the supper dance together.
I'll remember, darling.
Shall we dance, Mrs. Lefroy?
Thanks, I'd like to.
So you've been married before, too, then?
Yes. Well, I still am. At least, I think I am.
Oh? I gather from Ronald that you're engaged to him.
Oh, I am. I've got my decree nisi, but not my absolute.
Oh.
My first marriage was a howling failure.
And yet you're ready to try again?
Why not? One mistake doesn't make a series.
I suppose not.
First marriages oughtn't to count. One's so busy learning to be married at all, well, one can hardly help acquiring a kind of resentment against one's partner in error, can one?
I wouldn't know. I'm a confirmed bachelor.
And it's your idea, is it, that it's better not to risk it at all? Well, maybe. My future brother-in-law, David Stratton, would agree with you on that score, I dare say. Have you met Ina?
I have.
Now, there's a woman I could cheerfully murder. So could a lot of other people present tonight, if only the law allowed it. She's poison, Mr. Sheringham. But I shouldn't be talking like this to you, should I? As you're a detective.
Don't worry, Mrs. Lefroy. I'm not here in that capacity. I hardly imagined anyone would bump her off tonight anyway.
Oh, I don't suppose so. What's the pity?
Well, spend much time with you.
Ah, Sheringham, come and join us.
Oh, thanks, Chalmers, I will.
Now then, you've met my wife.
Yes.
Oh, this apparition in fancy dress of the most gruesome description possible is Frank Mitchell. Another medico, incidentally.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
We've been talking shop, haven't we, Frank?
We have.
Do you ever talk anything else, Philip?
Well, sometimes, my dear, sometimes.
Not when you and Frank get together.
There's something in that, Philip, you must admit.
I suppose there is. Well, now Sheringham's come, we'll change the subject from hernias and gastric ulcers to our murder party disguises.
Thank goodness. Well, Mr. Sheringham, who am I meant to be?
That's easy. You're Mrs. Maybrick.
Well, congratulations. How did you know?
Her dress is a copy of the one Mrs. Maybrick wears in the Chamber of Horrors. Oh. And a very good copy it is, Mrs. Chalmers.
There, Philip. Didn't I say it was worth taking trouble? Philip has just come in his dinner jacket. He never will dress up.
Well, Sheringham, you may call me an undiscovered murderer. I know from your books it's a theory of yours that the world's full of them.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Philip's not one of them anyway. Philip couldn't murder anyone to save his life.
I'm an undiscovered murderer doctor. We doctors have weapons at our disposal the layman doesn't possess. Deadly drugs and so on, haven't we, Frank?
We have. Not that my crimes were committed with them. My methods were much cruder. Now, Mr. Sheringham, look at me hard and tell me who I meant to be.
I've no idea. Is the mask you're wearing a clue?
It is. And my blood stains.
No, Dr. Mitchell. I'm defeated.
I'm another murderer whose identity was never discovered. Jack the Ripper.
That's cheating.
Oh, no. My mask, hands stained red, red on my cheeks and forehead. Blood, blood, blood.
Disgusting, isn't it, Mr. Sheringham?
Well, Mrs. Maybrick, I must say I prefer your methods. You used arsenic to dispose of your husband, didn't you? Or never did, according to another school of thought.
I hope I did. I was in prison for it long enough.
Yes, that's true. Hello, are you off, Frank?
Yes. Oh, excuse me, Mrs. Chalmers. This is a tune that Margot and I danced to the first evening we met. I must find her.
He and Margot have only been married a month, Mr. Sheringham. He's still in the starry-eyed stage about her.
Margot? Oh, it's he, is it, who's married to Ronald's first wife.
That's it. Margot Stratton last year, Margot Mitchell this.
Well, never mind, dear. They're as happy as skylarks, and so is Ronald. Why, say, Sheringham, you haven't a drink. What'll you have?
A light ale, I think, this time.
Right. I'll pour one out for you.
Thanks.
Oh, do be careful, Philip. You're spilling it.
So I am. Oh, well, nothing to speak of. There you are, Sheringham.
Oh, thanks.
Left arm doesn't quite function. Bit of trouble from the war.
He was badly wounded in his left shoulder.
So? That must be a nuisance for you. I suppose you can't operate.
Oh, yes, it doesn't bother me much, really. I can drive a car and sail a yacht. I can't raise my upper arm from the shoulder, but I can lift my forearm from the elbow.
Oh, the same as rotten luck. Well, all the best. Well, Mrs. Chalmers, aren't you drinking anything?
No more for me, thank you. There's one woman here tonight who's tiddly, and if there's going to be another, it won't be me. You know who I mean, of course.
I imagine, sir.
Of course you do. Ina Stratton. The creature poor David's got himself landed with. She's always telling him she'll end by committing suicide. Why the hell doesn't she do it and put him out of his misery?
Hush, dear.
I won't hush. Have you heard her latest?
No.
She's spreading a story that Jean Harcourt has a lover in London whom she pops up to sleep with every week or so.
Well, no one will believe that. Everyone knows that Jean goes up to London to see her mother, who happens to be a very sick woman.
How can you tell, Philip? Some people will believe anything. If only David would tell his confounded wife to go to the devil and leave her.
He would do, but for the child. They've a little boy of four, Sheringham, whom David's absolutely devoted to. And Ina... Oh, look out, she's coming in. Hello, Ina.
Hello, Philip. I've come for another whiskey. Oh, I'm feeling like hell. I'm going to drown my sorrows at Ronnie's expense. What is life, Mr. Sheringham, but frustration and disappointment? Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, God, she's off. Philip, let's go to the ballroom.
Very well, dear.
Excuse us, Mr. Sheringham.
Of course.
Ina, we leave you to tell Mr. Sheringham your views on the futility of existence alone. We've heard them before. Philip, bring my wrap.
Right. So long, friend.
So long.
Polite, isn't she? But that's how she always is. How Philip Chalmers ever married her, I can't imagine. More whiskey, please. I'll have it straight this time.
Straight? Very well. Well, by the way, Mrs. Stratton, I must congratulate you on your dress. I identified you immediately. Mrs. Piercy, isn't it?
It is.
To the life.
But how brave of you to come as a char in a plain black dress. Weren't you tempted to choose a costume part?
Oh, no. I was always a character actress. I was on the stage once, you know.
Really? Before you were married, of course.
No, after. Marriage didn't give me the fulfillment I expected from it.
But the stage did?
Oh, for a time. But I managed to find fulfillment in the end. Can you imagine what it was that brought it? Oh, I expect you can.
No.
Why? Having a baby. That's the only way to fulfill oneself completely.
Then I looked like remaining unfulfilled.
Oh, for a woman, of course, I meant. A man can fulfill himself in so many ways. Oh, I wish to heaven I'd been born a man.
Well, even we men start off as babies.
You know what I mean. You don't know how lucky you are, Mr. Sheringham.
Well, perhaps I'll find out as time goes by. More whiskey?
No. That'll do for the moment. Oh, I feel stifled in here. Let's go up on the roof. I want to look at the stars. Would you mind awfully?
Not at all. I should love to look at the stars.
Oh, there they are. Millions and millions of them. Oh, lovely stars. I wish I were a star. Don't you, Mr. Sheringham?
Well, not particularly.
Oh, I do. Oh, they look so peaceful. Oh, and there to spoil it all of those ridiculous gallows of Ronnie's. Ronnie really is rather childish sometimes, isn't he?
Well, it's a great thing to be childish sometimes.
Oh, yes. I can be absurdly childish when the fit takes me. Oh, lovely stars. Lovely, lovely. Oh, dear. I'm an awful fool, I expect.
No? Why?
I feel so terribly introspective tonight. Do you ever feel introspective?
Not often. At least I try not to encourage it.
Oh, I can't help it. It's terrible.
It must be.
One can't help asking oneself, is there really any use in anything?
A dreadful question.
I've had a baby. I suppose I could say I've had some success on the stage. I've got a husband and a home. But is it worthwhile?
Ah.
I sometimes think the best thing to do would be to put an end to it all.
Oh, come.
If only one could find an easy way out. Sometimes I lie awake for hours, wondering if the gas oven would be the best solution. You don't mind my talking to you like this?
No, of course not. But I'm sure you don't mean it.
Oh, I do. I'm so glad we met, Mr. Sheringham. The moment I saw you, I knew there was a kind of affinity between us. An affinity of souls. Do you believe in the soul?
Well...
Oh, I do. I don't believe everyone has a soul, but I know I have. And I'm sure you have one, too. Mr. Sheringham?
Yes?
Would you like to kiss me?
Of course. But I mustn't yield to the temptation.
Why not?
Well, we've only just met, and it's a bit chilly out here.
Chilly? Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, quite a lot. I catch cold very easily.
But Mr. Sheringham...
Come along, now. Let's go down. Mind those stairs. They're a bit tricky. You might break your neck. I'll lead the way.
Oh, I wouldn't mind if I did break my neck.
Well, I don't know about that, Williams. Well, just now, when I was dancing with your wife, Oh, hello, Roger, my lad. Where have you been?
Having a tete-a-tete with Ina Stratton.
Have you? If help you.
Oh, I survived. Just.
Where did she take you, Sheringham?
Up on the roof, Williams. She wanted to look at the stars.
Oh, she did she?
Oh, she's as mad as a hatter. Did she tell you she was feeling terribly introspective and that sometimes she thought the best thing to do would be to put an end to it all?
She did, Williams.
And then to start to gabble about her infernal soul?
Yes.
and say she felt there was an affinity between you and ask you if you'd like to kiss her?
Yes.
Same here. Yes, she's potty all right.
Roger, what's this? What's this I hear?
Oh, hello, Ronnie, what's what?
As though you didn't know, you old rascal. Ina's just told me you lured her up on the roof and tried to make love to her.
What?
Yeah, that's all she could do, she said, to fight you off. What? She says you're the most persistent man she's ever encountered.
The devil she did.
Don't worry, old boy, I didn't believe
it. I should hope not.
Well, well.
Well, shut up, Colin.
Well, chap, break it up. Next item on the program, supper dance. And after that, we're going to play charades. Charades are my speciality.
I'm bored.
Are you, Ina?
Yes, it's a rotten party. Rotten supper, rotten charades. I'm bored. Everybody's bored.
Ina, dear, do be quiet.
No, David, I won't. This party wants waking up. I know what. Ronnie?
Yes, Ina?
Dance an Apache dance with me.
No, Ina.
Pig. David, did you hear? I want Ronnie to dance an Apache dance with me and he won't.
Well, never mind.
But I want to. Won't anyone dance an Apache dance with me? Oh, pigs. Well, if no one will, I'll just lie down in the middle of the floor. Here. Till somebody does. There.
Ina.
Take no notice, David. Notice is all she wants. It's just playing into her hands.
I'll lie here and lie here. Don't be surprised if I drop off to sleep, Ronnie.
I won't, Ina. The best thing to do if you're bored. Don't worry, dear. It's a big room. Plenty of space for us to dance all round you. Come on, friends. On with the dance.
How do you do, Mr. Sheringham? I'm Margot.
Oh, how do you do? Oh, you're Mrs. Mitchell.
That's it. Mrs. Mitchell and Ronald Stratton's discarded wife. Dear Ronnie. What a wonderful exhibition my ex-sister-in-law is giving us.
Charming.
Poor David. He's very patient with her.
Too patient.
Oh, come on, Ronnie. I absolutely insist on your doing an Apache dance with me. I absolutely insist. I absolutely
Ina, dear,
insist.
If you'll have the goodness to pipe down for a minute.
Oh.
Hello? Yes, Dr. Chalmers is here. Right, I'll get him. Philip, it's for you.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Hello? Yes, Dr. Chalmers speaking. Oh, I see. Very well, I'll come over at once. Yes, do that. Yes, goodbye.
Bad luck, Philip.
Yes, no peace for us doctors.
Who was it, Philip?
The young Mrs. Thompson, my dear, from Falford. Well, on with the march. I'll be about an hour, Ronnie. And then, dear, it'll be time to go home.
Oh, then you can stay as long as you please. I'm enjoying myself.
Well, I won't kill myself hurrying. Cheers, Ronnie.
So long, Robert.
Ronnie! Once and for all, will you dance an Apache dance with me?
No, Ina.
Oh, Lord, what a rotten party it is. David, I'm going home.
Nonsense.
I am. If you won't come, I'll go by myself.
Oh, but Ina...
For goodness sake, David, if she wants to go, let her.
Oh, very well, Ina. You take the car. I'll walk. It's only a few hundred yards.
No, I'll walk. I feel like walking.
Goodbye then, Ina.
Oh, goodbye, Ronnie. No. On second thoughts, I don't think I'll go after all. If you won't do an Apache dance, let's think of something else. Something really amusing.
Good night, Ina.
But I'm not going, Ronnie.
Yes, you are, my girl. You said you wanted to go, and go you shall.
No, I've changed my mind. It's a woman's privilege to change her mind.
I don't care about that. You said you were going, and you shall. Besides, you're bored.
I shouldn't be if we could do something amusing.
Well, we're not going to. Come on, David. Up the dancers. We'll carry her up. You take her head, old boy, and I'll take her ankle.
No! You wouldn't dare.
Wouldn't we just? Now, come along, David.
Come on, Ina.
Hold for me down. Right.
Colin, old boy, open the door.
Right.
Wonderful. Now she's got the attention she wants.
Yes, Mr. Sheringham. No. But just wait. Ron is pretending to joke, but he means business.
Oh. What are you doing? Please! Let me go! Why?
There. Now she's realized it. Oh, I say, poor Ronnie. That was a vicious kick she gave
him. Let me go! Drop me!
Very well. Drop her. Drop her, David.
That hurt.
Melina, dear, you did say...
Beast! I hate you! It's been a foul party, stinking! I wish I'd never come!
And exit Ina. Well, Mr. Sheringham, he's got rid of her all right.
Ronnie, I think I'd better go, too.
Don't be an ass, David.
Yeah, but, Ronnie, in a mood like that...
Well, for heaven's sake, let her go and be thankful. She'll be all right.
Oh, very well.
Yeah, that's the spirit. I'll shove on another record. I'm sorry for the disturbance, everyone. The next dance will be, let me see. Oh, yes. The next dance will be a foxtrot. Now, take your partners, ladies and gentlemen. Take your partners. Margaret, my dear. For old time's sake, you must dance this one with me.
Thanks, Ronnie. I'd love to. Ronnie, I really will slip off now.
Why ever? Stay to the end, David, and thank God for a little peace. It's not as though you cared a damn.
Yes, but I'm responsible for her. And she was worse tonight than I ever remember seeing her.
Oh, very well. If it will set your mind at rest. Good night, David.
Good night, Ronnie. Good night, Sheringham.
Good night, David. I'm afraid the poor lad's in for a nasty half hour when he gets home.
Yes, I'm afraid he is, Colin.
Poor David. Poor old Dave.
Ronnie, I don't understand. He didn't do anything.
It doesn't matter, Roger. David's always the scapegoat when that maniac of a woman hasn't had the attention she imagines her due.
How in the world did he come to marry her?
Oh, heaven knows. Just one of those things. And now, when it's too late, he's met the girl that would have been exactly right for him.
But there's no chance of a friendly divorce?
None. Ina would never agree. She's got her bird in its cage.
But surely... Is there nothing you can do to get rid of?
Nothing. Short of murder.
That always does seem to be a little drastic. Mm. Well, Ronnie, here's luck to you at any rate, in your marriage.
Oh, thanks, Roger. I've no doubts on that score. Agatha's a winner.
Hello, Ina.
Hello, Phil.
What are you doing up here, all on your own, slumped in that chair?
Saying my last prayers before I jump from the roof and end it all.
Don't be silly.
I'm not being. I mean it. Come to that, what are you doing here?
Well, that's easily answered. Got back from my patient a bit sooner than I expected. Thought I'd have a quiet pipe before rejoining the party. Far from the madding crowd and so on.
Oh, sorry to be in your way.
You're not. What's the matter, Ina?
Nothing. Only that Ronnie and David between them threw me out of the ballroom just after you'd gone.
Threw you out? Well, that can't be accurate, surely.
That's right. Call me a liar.
My dear girl, I've no such intention.
Ask anyone who was there. I said I was going, and then I said I wasn't.
Matter of fact, I thought you had gone. As I drew up on the terrace just now, I saw what I could have sworn was your car driving away.
Oh, that must have been David. He thinks I've gone. He and Ronnie... They picked me up by the legs and shoulders and practically flung me into the hall.
Only in fun, I'm certain.
Oh, they pretended it was, but it wasn't. Ronnie was in earnest, all right. I saw the look on his face.
Ina.
Think of it. Think of the humiliation in front of all those grinning apes. I tell you, Phil, I've had enough. I'll make them suffer, you see, if I don't.
Now, Ina, listen to me.
I could make things very awkward for Ronnie. Very awkward.
But how?
I don't like that woman he's going to marry. She's a bad lot.
Agatha Lefroy? She's charming.
Not to me. She's cut me dead the whole evening. She and Ronnie are living together, and she's not even divorced yet. I'm going to write to the Queen's proctor and tell him so.
Well, you can't do a thing like that.
Oh, can't I? David knows I've been thinking about writing. I've told him so. And very likely he's told Ronnie.
But, my dear girl, it's only guesswork. You've no evidence.
Oh, yes, I have. And I'm going to use it. You can tell Ronnie so yourself if you like. I don't care. And as for David...
Well, what about David? David's the nicest man I know.
Is he? Tell me then, what do you know about him and that Griffiths girl?
Elsie Griffiths? Why, nothing. What is there to know?
But you know which of the Griffiths girls it is, don't you?
How did you if there's nothing in it?
Look here, Ina. If you're suggesting there's anything between David and Elsie Griffiths, you're absolutely mistaken.
Oh, yeah. When I think of what I've done for David, I've given him my whole life. If that little chit thinks she's going to get him now, she's got another think coming. Really, Phil, it's terribly funny when one comes to think of it. It's terribly funny.
Ina, you're getting hysterical.
I don't care. Why shouldn't I? I've had a terrible evening. All the women treating me as though I weren't there. And horrible men making love to me.
Oh, who has?
All of them. They always do. That Mr. Williams, though his wife's actually staying in the house with him. And that private detective friend of Ronnie's.
What? Roger Sheringham?
Yes. He brought me up here. And the moment he got me alone...
Well?
Oh, he was disgusting. If I hadn't told him, I'd shout for help.
Well, you do have a tough time with the lads, don't you, Ina?
With all except you, Phil. You're the only decent one of the lot. You've never tried to make love to me. I wonder why you haven't.
Well, your husband happens to be a friend of mine.
You're terribly fond of David, aren't you?
Of course.
I don't think David would mind in the least. Not now. Now that he's having an affair with that Griffiths creature.
Ina, he isn't. Look here, Ina. I want you to do me a favor. Two favors, in fact.
What?
Put out of your head this ridiculous notion about David. It's entirely without foundation.
Well?
And second, give up this idea of writing to the Queen's proctor about Ronnie and Agatha Lefroy.
No.
But, Ina, you've got
the hope... I'm sorry, Phil. As a law-abiding citizen, I feel it's my duty to write. And as for David and Elsie Griffiths...
Well?
It's decent of you to try and shield him. But I must have that out with David himself.
You won't do it tonight, anyway.
I will. I'd have done it before, but I only heard about it this evening. Overheard, that is.
In that case, you should certainly wait. I give you my solemn word...
What's that worth? You lie your head off for David's sake. Oh, Phil... Why can't I die? David would be glad. He could have his Elsie then, couldn't he?
Ina, don't talk such nonsense.
It is nonsense. David doesn't love me any longer. Nobody cares for me. Not even you, Phil, really. If only I could have an easy way out.
Well, if you stay up here much longer without an overcoat, you'll find an extremely unpleasant one. It's getting colder every minute. You'll catch double pneumonia.
I don't care. I wish I could.
Weena, don't be an idiot.
I'm not being. If I want to die, why shouldn't I? I see, Phil, look.
What? Where?
Those gallows of Ronnie's. The woman in the middle, she's fallen down.
So she has. It's the wind. Her head's come away from her body.
So it has. That's a coincidence, isn't it?
Coincidence? Why?
Don't you see? Here am I, wanting to find a way of killing myself. And there's that empty noose. It's an invitation from fate.
Oh, stop being dramatic and come along downstairs.
I'm not being dramatic. I'm deadly serious. Now, where's a chair? Oh, there's one by the door. Oh, I've only got to kick that silly dummy out of the way and climb onto the chair like this and put my head into the noose. Like that?
Oh, come on, Ina, for goodness sake. David will be home by now and wondering what's become of you.
Let him wonder. Now, I've only got to jump off the seat. It'd be terribly easy, wouldn't it?
Very. But that's enough play acting.
It isn't play acting. Shall I, Phil? Shall I jump? I will if you say so, shall I?
Yes.
What? Phil, you don't really mean it.
I do.
Phil!
Let's face it, Ina, you'd be better dead, for your own sake and everyone else's.
Phil!
But you've no intention of doing it, have you?
But Phil!
Oh, very well, for the sake of humanity in general, I'll pull the chair away for you.
No, don't!
Well, that's that. Technically, I suppose I'm a murderer. Such an opportunity. No, I've no regrets. I've only to get downstairs without running into anyone. rejoin the party as though I'd only just got back from my patient. And only one conclusion is possible. Suicide. No. No regrets at all. Good. My luck's held. There's no danger now.
Oh, hello, Margot.
Hello, Philip. So you're back?
Yes, just this moment.
I'm off to fetch my coat. Frank and I are going. You've seen him, by the way. He seems to have disappeared.
No.
Oh, well, I must find him. He can't be far. Good night, Phil.
Good night, Margot. It's been nice seeing you again.
It's been nice seeing you too, Phil.
Ah, there you are, Laura, my dear. Oh, well, time for bye-byes.
But, Philip, there's only one more dance anyway before the party breaks up, and I promise Mr. Travers...
All right, dear, all right. We'll stay for that. Oh. But then you must say your adieus, like a good woman.
Even if Ronnie specially asks me to stay?
Yes, dear, even if. Late nights don't suit me these days.
Oh, very well, you old spoilsport.
Well, Chalmers, seen your patient?
Oh, yes, Sheringham. Exactly an hour, as I thought it would be.
Nothing serious, I hope?
Oh, no, child had a stomachache. The mother got it into her head that it was appendicitis. But he's only eaten too much at his birthday party.
Oh, bad luck.
Oh, well, these things will happen. One has to go to be on the safe side.
Yes, of course.
Now then, ladies and gentlemen, take your partners. Take your partners for the last waltz. Friends, now we are six. Everyone gone but the house party. But do we go to bed? I think not. Breakfast won't be till any hour you want it.
Well, Ronnie, so long as you don't expect us to exert ourselves, Nimoy.
Oh, no, Williams, nothing like that. Anyway, you're beyond it.
Rubbish.
You've drunk too much, hasn't he, Mrs. Williams?
Oh, he usually does. Osbert, I'm ashamed of you.
No, Emily, you leave me alone. Ronnie,
I know what, Ronnie, darling. We'll turn out the lights and Mr. Sheringham shall tell us about one of his most lurid murder cases.
Well, that's a good idea, Agatha.
Yes. Will you, Mr. Sheringham?
Well, Mrs. Williams, I oughtn't.
Oh, come on, Roger. Be a man.
Oh, very well, then. In the strictest confidence, of course.
Oh, naturally. Draw up your chairs to the fire, everyone. I'll fetch over the whiskey.
Ronnie.
Hello, David. What brings you back?
Sorry to interrupt, Ronnie. But, you know, wasn't home when I got there.
Oh?
I waited a bit. Then as she didn't turn up, well, I thought she might still be here somewhere.
Not that I know of. Anybody here see Nina?
No.
Probably at home all the time, David. Hiding herself deliberately.
Well, I've searched everywhere. If you don't mind, Ronnie, I'll have a look around before I go.
Sure. I tell you what, we all will. Come along, everyone. Search party for Nina. Bottle of scotch for anyone who can find it.
Bottle of scotch? Well, it's worth having.
Oh, a bottle of scotch for anyone but you, William.
That's right. If I find her, Ronnie, I get my reward, same as anyone else. I presume we can look anywhere?
Oh, sure, every nook and cranny. No rooms barred. Now, come along, friends. Well, don't worry, David. Yavina's here. We'll soon find her. David, that's that. She can't be here, old chap.
No, she can't be.
Not unless she's learned the art of making herself invisible.
You any suggestions, Roger?
None. We've combed the entire premises.
And in the process, I seem to have lost my husband.
Oh, don't worry about him, Mrs. Williams. He's probably crawled to bed and fallen asleep.
Well, so long as it's his own bed, Agatha.
Well, if it isn't, we'll soon shift him. Well, Dave, it's my bet Ina's at home and in bed too by this time.
All right then, Ronnie, I'll push off. Before I go, can I use your telephone?
Of course. But who do you want to ring at this time of night?
The police.
The police?
That's hardly necessary, surely.
You don't know my wife, Sheringham. In the mood she was in tonight, there's no knowing what she might do.
You mean she might walk into a lake and pretend to drown herself?
She might actually drown herself, Ronnie.
Oh, then, man, for God's sake, let her. Don't raise a finger to stop her for such a blessed action.
I won't. but I've got to cover myself.
How?
Well, by warning the police, there's a woman loose who isn't responsible for her actions. Don't you think I should, Sheringham?
Well, perhaps. I don't think she's the least likely to do such a thing, but it may give her a fright, which, if you don't mind my saying so, she needs so badly.
Yes, I had thought of that.
Okay, David. Use the extension in my study.
Well, thanks, Ronnie.
Well, now, friends, we can relax again. And Roger shall entertain us in the way he'd promised when we were interrupted.
Oh, aye, come along, Roger. Which is it going to be? That double murdered Shoreham or that elderly bridegroom who...
Ronnie! Sheringham!
Oh, there you are. Why, what's up?
I found her. I found Edith.
Where?
On the gallows. She's hanged herself.
Nonsense. Now, come and sit down and try and get sober.
But, Ronnie, I tell you, I'd never have realized if I hadn't banged right into her in the darkness. Oh, gave me a shock when I touched her hand. Cold as ice.
Good Lord. Roger, this is where you'd better take charge.
Right, Ronnie. Come along, chaps, let's go up. Ladies, stay put. Come along, Williams. Colin.
I'll right behind you.
Well, Mr. Sheringham, it really was her. She...
Yes, Mrs. Lefroy. Dead as mutton. Colin, I could do with a glass of whiskey.
Same here, Roger. How about you, Mrs. Lefroy?
Oh, no, not for me, thank you.
Well, just think of it. At least half of us looked on the roof. None of us thought of the gallows.
Why should we have done? She was wearing a black dress, just like the dummy, when the lantern had gone out.
Where is she now?
On the bed in Ronnie's room. Couldn't leave her hanging there.
Oh, no, of course not. Where is Ronnie?
In his study. He's ringing Chalmers to come along and examine the body, and then the police... David's with him.
Oh, well, if you'll excuse me...
Yes, of course. Well, Colin, that seems to dispose of the good old cliché.
What cliché?
That those who talk about suicide never do it.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
And yet...
Well?
I could have sworn that it applied in this case more forcibly than in any other... It couldn't have been an accident, I suppose.
Ah, so the celebrated detective's brain's at work, is it? Out with it, laddie. What's on your mind?
Well, there's a woman whom quite a lot of these present tonight had every reason to wish dead.
True.
And then this happened. She commits suicide.
And good riddance.
Now, I couldn't agree with you more. But if the police discover the hatred that was seething against her, they may suspect something absolutely preposterous.
Murder?
Hmm.
But think of the risk. Good Lord, Roger, you don't think it was murder? I mean, well, there she was, no signs of violence.
Oh, yes, it looks like suicide. But, Colin...
Well?
Suppose it was murder.
But it wasn't.
Very likely, but suppose it was, and the murderer made a slip, as murderers so often do.
Well, Mr. Sherlock?
Well, in the ordinary way, I'm on the side of the law. That's how I earn my living. But in this case, if she was killed, my sympathies are all with the killer.
I hear, hear. Hey, Roger, where are you going?
To find a torch.
Whatever for?
Before the police arrive, I'm going up to the roof to have another look round.
Okay, laddie, if you must. Though it seems to me damn silly. Do you want me to come with you?
No, don't bother. I'll soon go on, ma'am. See you later. No, everything looks in order. Everything points to suicide. I better have another look at that noose. A chair. Where's a chair? Oh, there's one. Now. Yes. Standing on this, I could have put the noose around my neck easily enough. No doubt Ina Stratton could have done the same. Oh, well, whoever did it, if anyone did, made a clever job of it. Good luck, Jim.
Oh, careful. Careful, you idiot. You nearly broke your own neck.
Well, that's that. Call it suicide and bury your doubts. And yet, good Lord. Roger, my boy, you're losing your powers of observation. That chair. It wasn't anywhere near the gallows till you put it there. It wasn't there when we came off to Williams' founder. So it was murder. Someone did string her up. She couldn't have done it with nothing to stand on. What a slip for her killer to make. If she'd done it herself, she'd have jumped from the chair, and as she swung, it would have fallen over, just where it is now through my upsetting it. Well, there it is, exactly where it should have been, and there I'll leave it. I wonder if Colin or Ronnie or Williams noticed it wasn't there. I don't suppose so.
Roger! Are you there, Roger?
Oh, here comes Colin. Here's a chance for a little auto-suggestion. Yes, Colin?
Well, Roger, how goes it? Satisfied?
Oh, quite. It was suicide.
Good. I came to tell you Chalmers has got back. He's having a look at the body now.
Oh, thanks. I'll join him. Yes, Colin, she killed herself, all right.
What makes you so sure all of a sudden?
Well, you're a bit of a student of crime yourself. What would you say was the vital evidence?
A state of mind?
No, that's evidence the other way of anything. Look, Colin. It's there in front of your eyes.
I'm blessed if I can see it.
That chair. Under the gallows.
Ah, I see what you mean. Very interesting.
You noticed it, of course, when we cut her down without realizing its significance.
An important piece of evidence, no doubt. If that chair hadn't been there...
And you did notice it.
Oh, yes, I noticed it.
Colin, what the hell are you doing?
I'm wiping your fingerprints off it, old boy.
What?
In case you forgot to do so yourself.
Wiping my
Aye. You see, laddie, I happen to know that chair wasn't under the gallows. It was over there.
How do you know?
Because I practically fell over it. Roger.
Yes?
If I were you, I wouldn't talk about that chair to anyone else. It might look fishy.
Fishy?
Aye. They might put two and two together as I did and realized you'd moved it.
But...
Oh, now, come clean, man. You did.
Yes, that is...
What? If you hadn't been so emphatic about it, if you hadn't been so set on persuading me, I'd never have given the matter another thought.
Wouldn't you?
No. You know, the trouble with you, Roger, is that you talk too much. Not, mind you, that I blame you for doing away with the creature.
What? You're not accusing me of killing her?
No, not accusing you. But you might have done, mightn't you?
Oh, don't...
I mean, all that anxiety to get back here on your own.
Yes,
mark you to satisfy yourself that the murderer hadn't slipped up. Oh, very clever.
Damn it, I hardly knew the woman.
True. But a lot of murders, I dare say, have been committed from purely altruistic motives.
I'm not all that altruistic. Look, damn it, I simply put the chair under the gallows to have a look at the noose. And as I got down, it fell over.
It's very clever indeed. Oh, don't worry, Roger, I won't give you away.
Oh, good Lord of all... Now, look here.
Well, laddie?
It was my intention to let sleeping dogs lie.
And fallen chairs, too.
Now, shut up. But now I'm going to pursue this case. It was murder. You agree with me there?
Oh, yes. You've convinced me of that, anyway.
Fine. Well, now I'm going to find out who did kill her to prove that I didn't.
Unofficially, I hope.
Of course. In this case, the police and I are on opposite sides of the fence.
I'll bet you are. Though why you should worry...
It's not very pleasant to be suspected of being a murderer, however altruistic.
Only a possible old boy.
Oh, that's nearly as bad. Now, let's go down. I must see Chalmers. He'll be pretty well through with his examination by now, I imagine. Well, Chalmers?
Oh, hello, Sheringham. I've just finished. One moment while I cover up. There. Dreadful business, isn't it? What could have possessed her to take her life like that?
You're sure it was suicide?
What else could it have been?
Oh, nothing. I just wondered if there was a possibility of an accident.
Accident? How?
Oh, I don't know, but... Well, from the little I saw of her, I shouldn't have said she was the suicidal type.
No? Well, that's more on your line than mine. But I should certainly have said that Ina's neurotic, egocentric type... has a predisposition to suicide.
You'll be prepared, then, to give evidence to that effect at the inquest?
I think so. Unless you can convert me to the opposite view.
Oh, no, I expect you're right. How long would you say she's been dead?
Well, about 2 hours. Yes, quite that, I should think. That'll be the police. They want my report. Then home to bed, I hope. I was just starting to get undressed after a good night pipe when Ronnie rang me. You coming down?
Yes, I'll be in the morning room till the police send for me, if they do.
Sure to. They'll be certain to want a word with the great Roger Sheringham. Well, let's go.
Come in, Roger. This is Inspector Crane.
How do you do, Inspector?
Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Sheringham. Terrible business, this, sir.
Very.
Though not, fortunately, in your line, we hope.
Of course not. A clear case of suicide.
Well, Mr. Sheringham, we've had a look at the scene of the tragedy and seen the poor lady. Mr. Ronald and Mr. David here have outlined the events which led up to the discovery, and Dr. Chalmers, who's just gone, has given us his medical opinion. Now, Mr. Sheringham.
Yes?
I won't keep you long, as the hour's late, but if there's anything you can tell us which will assist us and the coroner...
I don't know that there is much. You must understand that I never met Mrs. David Stratton till this evening.
Yes, Mr. Ronald has mentioned that.
Roger, she told you, didn't she, that she was thinking of taking her own life?
Yes, Ronnie, she did.
But in spite of that, you did nothing?
No, Inspector. I thought she was talking purely for effect.
Effect?
Well, I realized, of course, that she was, how shall I put it, a highly strung woman. But not, I thought then, to the point of carrying out her threat.
Well, Mr. David, did that coincide with your opinion?
No, Inspector. She had frequently talked of suicide. But tonight her behavior really did alarm me. That's why I rang you when we couldn't find her.
You were afraid that she really might have done away with herself?
I was.
I see. Well, gentlemen, I won't keep you any longer now. We'll come back in the morning, Mr. Ronald, have a look at the scene of the tragedy by daylight.
Well, certainly. When will the inquest be?
Monday morning. That is, if nothing arises to cause us to postpone it.
Well, that's not likely, is it?
I hope not, sir. I hope not. Come along, Constable. Well, gentlemen, I'll wish you good night.
Good night, Inspector.
Good night, Inspector. An officious fellow, your Inspector Crane, Ronnie.
Oh, I don't know. It's not often that anything of this sort happens in these parts. Naturally, he's making the most of it.
Eye on promotion and so on.
Yep. Must be thorough, you know, to impress the superintendent. Oh, David, oh boy. You get along. You look all in.
I feel it.
Yeah, no wonder. Bit for all of us, eh, Roger?
Colin, wake up. Huh? Wake up, here.
Oh, bless you, Roger. Here I am having a well-earned sleep after an exhausting evening.
Well, there'll be no more sleep for you till you've listened to what I've got to say. I've been lying in bed thinking.
If you have, I don't know why the blazes...
I think I know who did string her up.
Who? Not Ronnie, I hope, because I like him.
No. Dr. Chalmers.
Oh, Phil Chalmers, don't be absurd. Philip's a grand fellow.
It's just because he's a grand fellow that I suspect him. He knew that woman was making David's life unbearable.
Dear. But he's not the type who'd ever commit a murder.
Not to plan one, I grant you.
Well, then.
But he's a man of character and pretty strong nerve. Suppose he suddenly saw an opportunity and simply took it. That's conceivable, isn't it?
Just, but what was the opportunity?
Well, I imagine they were up on the roof together, and she was making all kinds of wild threats, what she was going to do to David and Ronnie and everyone else she's got her knife into.
Well, Mr. Sherlock, continue.
Chalmers' patience becomes exhausted. He sees that the female dummy has fallen from the gallows. He gets the idea. Put a woman where a woman was.
You've got imagination, I'll say that much for you.
Shut up. He inveigles her to the gallows, puts his handkerchief over her mouth to stifle her cries, and... Hey, presto. He's lifted up and put her head into the empty noose.
Very fine. But there's one thing you've forgotten.
What's that?
Well, Philip's a strong man, but even he couldn't have done it without using both arms, could he?
No, he used them both, naturally.
What, in spite of his dicky shoulder? When he can't raise the upper part of his left arm?
Damn. No, he can.
So, whoever it was, it couldn't have been Philip.
No. That clears him.
Good. Now you can clear and let me get to sleep again.
All right. But I mean to show you all the same.
Show me what?
That it wasn't I who killed her.
Okay. But if any other theories occur to you during the night, don't come waking me again. Let them keep till the morning, or there'll be another murder.
Morning, Ronnie.
Oh, Roger. Glad to see you. Thought I was in for a lonely breakfast. There's liver and bacon, sir, on the sideboard. Help yourself.
Thanks.
Oh, by the way, Roger, I hope you're not thinking of cutting your visit short. There's no need.
I'll stay with pleasure, if you'd like me to.
Ah, good. Really, no need for anyone to go. David's making arrangements for the body to be removed to his house this morning.
Oh? But the inquest's to be here, isn't it?
Yes, that'll be here, I take it.
Well, in that case, wouldn't it be more convenient...
For the body to stop here, too? Yes, I should have thought so. But David wouldn't hear of it. He said Ina's death had been quite sufficient nuisance to my guests already.
That was very thoughtful of him.
David is thoughtful. Coffee?
Thanks.
Oh, while I think of it, Margot's been on the phone, too. Rang up to say thanks for the party. So I broke the news about Ina.
I shouldn't imagine she was very distressed.
No, she seemed a little more agitated than I'd have expected. Oh, I suppose that was a surprise.
Morning, fellas.
Ah, Colin. Come along in and join the feast. Eat's over there.
Thanks, but I don't know about feasting. A large cup of black coffee is all I feel like this morning.
Black it shall be. Look as if you've got a bit of a hangover.
I have. You look fresh enough, Roger.
Thanks, old fellow. I feel it.
A coffee, Colin.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Alice?
The police are here, if you please, sir. The inspector says, can he go up, if you please?
Oh. Oh, well, right, Alice. I'll come along. Excuse me, chaps.
Of course. I'll follow in a minute or two.
Oh, will you? Thanks, Roger.
Well, Roger, solved the mystery?
Yes, Colin. I think I have.
Oh, you do you? And who is it this time?
David.
What? Oh, no. You'll never persuade me it was Dave.
As far as motive goes, he had the strongest of anyone.
Maybe. But David, he wouldn't have the heart to squash a slug.
A lot of people who haven't the heart to squash slugs have had the heart to commit murder. Crippen, for instance. There was a charming little man driven nuts by that wife of his.
Ah, but in his case, there was an added motive. Crippen was in love with another woman.
So is David.
What? Who told you that one?
Ronnie. And before Ina Stratton was killed.
Well, suppose he is. No, Roger, I won't have you fastening it on Dave.
You didn't mind fastening it on me, I noticed.
You fastened it on yourself with your hanky-panky about that chair. But if you're going to prove that David did it, don't drag me in. Lord knows he had ample justification.
So you admit the possibility?
Oh, it's possible theoretically, of course. He left not long after she did. And a good deal sooner than the rest of us. He had the opportunity.
Well, then...
But I just know that it wasn't him. I know him too well.
Well, that's prejudice. Now, this is murder, remember. Everyone must be suspect if they haven't a cast-iron alibi.
And who has? Everyone was drifting in and out of the ballroom the whole evening.
But you must admit that David acted very strangely.
I don't admit it.
Ah, it's prejudice again. Why, for instance, was he so anxious to ring up the police before it was known that anything had happened to her?
Well, you know, she was missing. And she'd been behaving like a raving lunatic.
Well, that was a habit of hers, I gather. And point three. Last night, when the police were here, Dave was very much on edge, I noticed. So was Ronnie, for that matter. Still is. Though he's able to conceal it better.
So what?
I believe Ronnie thinks David did it. Well, David may even have told him he did.
Damn it, Roger, you twist everything.
Speak for yourself, old fella. You're the champion twister. Well, thank God for my good breakfast. I must go up and see how Ronnie is getting on with the police.
Do you remember seeing
Jersey? No, Inspector. I don't remember it being there at all, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good morning, Inspector.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Sheringham. I was just telling Mr. Stratton I'd like a word with you.
Certainly. What about?
This chair under the gallows.
Oh, yes, what about it, Inspector?
Well, sir, you see how it's lying right under the noose?
Yes.
Now, I've taken measurements, and if it had been like that, the poor lady would have been able to stand on it. The rungs would have supported her.
Yes, I see what you mean. Perhaps it's been moved.
And that's just what I wanted to ask you, Mr. Sheringham. Was it, to your knowledge, moved last night while you were taking the body down?
Well, that's rather difficult to say. Do you remember if it got moved, Ronnie?
I don't. As a matter of fact, I was just telling the inspector that I don't remember it being there at all.
Don't you? Well, I think I do. I expect someone must have kicked it aside, Inspector.
Yes, I can understand that. But why was it put back again?
Oh, well, probably someone just kicked it back. In any case, it's not a point of much importance, is it?
No, probably not. No, I just didn't understand about it, and I thought you might be able to give me some information.
No more than I have given. There was a certain amount of confusion up here, you must remember, and we were working by torchlight.
Surprising the chair didn't end up in the garden below, instead of more or less where it started from.
Yes, no doubt you're right. Well, thank you, Mr. Sheringham. That's all I wanted to ask you.
Can I be of any further assistance?
No, Mr. Stratton, I don't think so.
Well, then we'll leave you to it. You'll let me know when you're through. I'll be in my study.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Well, come along then, Roger. After you, old fellow.
Ronnie, you inconceivable bonehead. Listen to me.
Why, what's up?
The chair, you lunatic.
What about
it? Oh, for God's sake. Not another word about your not remembering it being under the gallows.
Why not?
Because, nincompoop, the presence of that chair means suicide, and the absence means murder. Oh, think it over and you'll see.
Good Lord. But Roger...
No, don't say another word about it. Leave it at that. Come along.
Come in. Ah, Inspector, you're off?
Yes, Mr. Stratton.
Have a drink before you go.
Thank you, sir, but I must see the superintendent. There are one or two points in this case that I'm not happy about.
Oh? What are they, Inspector?
If you'll excuse me, sir, I'd rather not discuss them. By the way, we're taking that chair.
Oh, why?
If you'll excuse me, sir. Oh, and another point. Has the body been moved?
Not yet.
Then I wanted to stay here, for the time being, anyway.
Very well, Inspector. I'll tell my brother.
Thank you, sir. Your guests will be staying?
According to present arrangements, they are.
Ask them to, please. They may be wanting to give evidence at the inquest.
Very well, Inspector.
Well, I must get on. Got that chair, Jevons?
Yes, Inspector.
Then, gentlemen, I'll wish you good morning.
Good morning, Inspector. I say, Roger, that's odd.
It is. But it's no use worrying.
No, I suppose not.
All the same, Ronnie, I think I'll pop up to the roof again to see if I can find out what they've been up to.
Well, I'll come with you.
No, you go along and see David. Now, tell him exactly what's happened. And if the inspector calls on him, to be damn careful what he says.
All right. Thanks, Roger.
Well, Colin, there you are. I've been looking for you.
Have you, Roger? Oh, just when I was going to settle down to read the Sunday papers. Still on the trail, are you? And who's your suspect now? Still David?
Yes, but I'm not concerned with him at the moment. It's the police I'm trailing just now. Look, come in here, Colin.
Oh, if I must. Well, what's up?
That blasted chair.
Hmm?
The police have checked for footprints and fingerprints and found none.
Good Lord. But how do you know?
I found traces of insulfator powder on the roof, just about where the chair was lying. They've taken the blasted thing away with them.
Oh, that's unfortunate. No prints, because I wiped it.
Exactly.
Aye, but not as unfortunate when you come to think of it, as if I hadn't. If Ina was murdered, they wouldn't have found her prints, of course. But they'd have found yours, old man, if I hadn't got rid of them.
That's true.
Does Ronnie know?
He knows they've taken the chair, but not about the test they made on it. I don't mean to tell him. But somehow...
What?
The police will be questioning us again, that's certain. And somehow we've got to concoct a convincing story to account for the absence of those prints.
Yes, I see what you mean. Any ideas?
None. For the moment, I'm flummoxed. Unless you go to them like a man and tell them you wiped it.
Oh, don't be an idiot. If I did, they'd want to know why. And a nice mess we'd land ourselves in.
Yes, I suppose so.
What reason could I give them if I didn't give them the true one? Any suggestions?
None. Yes, Colin, we're in a fix.
We are, laddie. Ah, Agatha Lefroy, fresh from her beauty sleep. You did sleep, I hope, Agatha.
Oh, not too badly, on and off. Good morning, Mr. Sheringham.
Good morning, Mrs. Lefroy. Colin?
Huh?
Suppose we ask Mrs. Lefroy to do it.
Do what, Roger?
Say that she wiped it.
Wiped what?
Discovered that chair has been wiped and naturally they're puzzled.
Naturally.
It's essential that someone should own up to having done it. Laughing heartily the while and without the faintest notion that the act was a serious one. Now, if you could...
Well, this is all very mysterious. I'm simply dying to ask all sorts of questions, but I won't.
Agatha, you're a grand woman.
Thanks, Colin. Well, Mr. Sheringham, I could have done it. When I left you and Colin up here last night, I went up to the roof.
Did you?
Yes, morbid curiosity. Mr. Williams was still up there. No, I don't mind saying I wiped it.
Fine.
Provided, of course, I can give them a sensible reason.
Yes, yes. Why did you? That's a question.
It couldn't have been jam or anything like that.
A wee dicky bud, maybe.
Oh, shut up, Colin. You wiped it very thoroughly, Mrs. Lefroy, the seat and the back of it as well. Now, why should anyone want to wipe a chair as thoroughly as that on a roof?
I know, because of smuts.
Smuts?
Yes, I was wearing a white dress and I wanted to sit on it.
But why should you?
My delicate nerves, the effect of seeing those gallows. Yes, I remember distinctly. I was standing there under the gallows, and then I felt faint, so I picked up the chair.
But what did you wipe it with? It's not very convincing, I'm afraid.
Oh, I suppose not.
Especially if you were feeling faint.
Ah, Agatha never wiped it at all, nor picked it up. Williams, like the nice, polite gentleman he is, picked it up and wiped it for her with his handkerchief.
No, Colin, I draw the line at confiding in Williams.
But there's no need to. Just convince him he did it. Well, the man was as tight as a lord. He wouldn't remember if he'd wiped 50 chairs last night.
Colin, I believe you hit it. But if Mrs. Lefroy sat on it, how did it get on its side again?
Because as I got up, it fell over.
Well done, Mrs. Lefroy. Perfect. I agree with Colin. You're a wonderful woman. Even Ronnie can't realize how magnificent you are.
He will. Talk of the devil, here is Williams. Morning, Willie, old boy.
Morning. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
By the way, Williams, a word in your ear.
Oh, yes, Sheringham?
I may be wrong, but I believe you've got the police worried.
I? How?
By wiping that chair for Mrs. Lefroy last night. In any case, I think you ought to tell them about it.
Wiping a chair? I never wiped any chair for her.
Mr. Williams.
Surely.
Well, when did I?
When? Oh, you must remember. I joined you on the roof last night after you'd taken Ina down from the gallows. You were telling me how you'd cut her down, and suddenly I felt faint and wanted to sit down.
Did you? I don't remember. Not much I do remember about last night, except finding her body. Anyway, does it matter, Sheringham?
Well, I'm afraid it may matter quite a lot.
Oh?
You see, when you wiped that chair, you destroyed some rather important evidence. The prints that Ina Stratton made when she stood in it.
But did I wipe it?
You did, laddie. You heard what Mrs. Lefroy said.
So the only thing, Williams, is for you to remember quite clearly what you did do, and then own up to the police. Or they'll start imagining that we were all drunk last night, and the press will begin shouting about a drunken orgy in the course of which a woman dies.
By Jove, yes. Yeah, I see what you mean. Well, what exactly did I do?
Listen carefully, Williams, and Mrs. Lefroy will remind you. Well now, Williams, do you think you've got it?
Yes, Sheringham, I think so.
Well then, let's have it.
Mrs. Lefroy had come up to the roof, and I was telling her how we'd taken down the body and all that, and,
And then I came over faint and wanted to sit.
So I picked up a chair.
And because I was wearing a white dress...
Because you were wearing a white dress, you asked me to wipe it for you.
And you did wipe it?
Of course, with my handkerchief.
Not only the seat, but the back of it as well?
Yes.
Good. Now, do you remember it all?
Good Lord, yes. Damn it, Sheringham, I may have been drunk, but I wasn't as drunk as all that.
Fine. And now, Williams, I'll run you down to the station and you can tell the inspector all about it.
Right, Sheringham. Oh, hold on a minute. I better just tell my wife I'm going.
Well, Roger, how did it go?
Wonderful. Oh, Williams did his stuff splendidly. Believe it or not, he's now quite convinced that he really does remember.
A little careful suggestion, didn't I tell you?
You did. Oh, he gave the inspector quite a wigging when he began to cross-question him in front of the superintendent, too.
Ah, that officious inspector. I hope he was duly humble.
He was. Felt a complete idiot, if looks anything to go by. Oh. Well, Colin, we're all set now. David is safe, if nothing goes wrong at the inquest tomorrow. I don't see how anything can, do you?
No, though it never does to count one's chickens. But I wish you'd leave David out of it. David didn't do it.
Well, someone did.
Yes, that I grant you. Someone did.
Ah, thank you, Inspector Crane. And there were no signs of violence?
No, Mr. Coroner. No, there weren't.
Thank you, Inspector. A very concise statement. You may sit down. Mr. David Stratton.
Yes, Mr. Coroner?
I realize, Mr. Stratton, that this is a very painful occasion for you. But it is my duty to ask you a few questions. Now, casting your mind over the events of Saturday night. Thank you, Mr. David. That will be all. Mr. Ronald Stratton.
Sir?
You agree, Mr. Ronald, with your brother's opinion as to his wife's mental instability?
I do. As my brother has told you, he had frequently consulted Dr. Chalmers on the subject.
But Dr. Chalmers didn't think it necessary that she should be sent to a mental home.
Not yet. Though he thought that might well become necessary in time.
I see, I see. Well, we can hear all about that from Dr. Chalmers himself later on. Thank you, Mr. Stratton. That is all I wish to ask you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Colin, couldn't be going better, could it?
No, Roger, so far so good. Not a word about that chair.
No, no, the chair, I imagine, is a matter Mr. Inspector Crane would sooner forget. He'd hardly go rubbing the salt into his own wounds.
Quiet, please. Mr. Williams.
Yes, sir?
Now, Mr. Williams, it was you who found the body.
Yes, that's right.
The inspector has read your statement as to how this occurred. Have you anything to add to it?
Nothing. That's just how it happened. Quite accidentally. We'd been looking for Mrs. Stratton for some time, but none of us had thought of the gallows. Well, I mean, why the dickens should we?
Quite so. Well, you fetched the others, I understand. That is, the men of the party. And the body was taken down and removed to one of the bedrooms.
That's right, by the others. I stayed on the roof.
You stayed on the roof? Alone?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, blessed if I know. Just did.
Did anyone join you there?
Oh, that's right. Mrs. Lefroy did.
And what happened?
What happened? Well, I showed her the gallows and where she'd been hanging and all that.
Yes, and then?
Eh? Oh, she came over queer. I felt faint, I mean. Women do sometimes.
Yes, quite understandable. And when Mrs. Lefroy felt faint?
Well, I picked up a chair for her to sit on, of course, and wiped it for her with my handkerchief.
Good. You wiped it? Why did you do that?
Because she asked me to. Hadn't any idea I oughtn't to have done it. Very sorry and all that.
It didn't occur to you that the chair was the one on which Mrs. Stratton might have stood?
No, I'm afraid it didn't. No.
Well, perhaps in the circumstances that was understandable, too. Where was the chair?
Oh, my God.
Where was it? Somewhere in the middle of the roof.
Oh.
In the middle? You're sure of that?
Oh, yes. Quite sure.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. That is all.
Thanks.
Well, Roger, that's torn it.
My God, it has. That's the one thing we forgot to tell him, the position of the chair. The inspector's getting his own back, it's all right. He hasn't dropped that chair far from it.
Mrs. Lefroy. Now, Mrs. Lefroy, will you tell us what happened after Mr. Williams showed you where the body had been found?
Yes, certainly. I felt a bit dizzy and wanted to sit down. So I asked Mr. Williams to pick up that chair.
And wipe it for you?
Yes.
Why?
I was wearing a white dress. Rather an expensive one.
I see. And the chair you picked up, whereabouts on the roof was it?
Whereabouts? I should think somewhere about the middle of the roof.
Thank you, Mrs. Lefroy.
Oh, my God. Colin, if you're called, say the chair was under the gallows. Never mind about explaining, say that.
What, now, if it's all landed for perjury?
No,
Roger, I will not. Well, damn it, man, we've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
Mrs. Lefroy realized that.
But, Colin...
Mr. Colin Nicholson, please. And this chair, Mr. Nicholson, was some distance from the gallows?
Yes.
About how far would you say?
How far? About 10 to 15 feet.
Too far, then, for Mrs. Stratton to have kicked it there when she, that is, if she jumped from it with the intention of killing herself?
Oh, definitely. But that doesn't mean that...
Thank you, Mr. Nicholson. I have no more questions to ask you.
Thank you.
You bloody fool, Colin. I suppose you know you've hanged David Stratton. Nothing more or less than hanged him.
Damn it, Roger, what else could I have said?
Quiet, please. Inspector Crane.
Yes, Mr. Coroner?
In view of the evidence given by the last three witnesses, I feel that this inquest should be adjourned, pending further investigations by the police.
Yes, sir.
Very well. Pending these investigations, the inquest is...
Please, Mr. Coroner.
Yes?
I am Mrs. Williams. It was my husband who found the body.
Oh, yes.
May I speak?
Certainly.
Oh, now what?
If you have anything of importance to say.
Oh, I have. It's about that chair. You're puzzled, aren't you, because it wasn't under the gallows when they found Ina. That is, Mrs. Stratton.
I am. It's not for me to prejudge the issue, but if Mrs. Stratton committed suicide...
Well, it wasn't there because I'd moved it.
Oh, how was that?
Well, when we were all searching the house before she was found...
Yes?
Well, I went up to the roof, more for a breath of air than anything. I felt like sitting, and I saw the chair lying by the gallows, and, well, I picked it up and sat on it.
God. And at that time, you had no notion that Mrs. Stratton was hanging close by you, dead.
Oh, dear, no. If I had...
Yes, yes, exactly. Well, Mrs. Williams, you say it was lying under the gallows. Immediately under?
Not quite, but as good as under.
Near enough for Mrs. Stratton to have thrust it there in the event of her having made use of it to hang herself.
Oh, yes, yes.
Ah, thank you, Mrs. Williams.
Thank you.
Your statement has been most valuable. Well, Inspector, I think the inquest may now proceed.
Yes, Mr. Coroner.
Colin, do you realize? It was suicide. She did do it after all. All our troubles been for nothing.
Yes, and if only you'd kept your inquisitive nose out of it...
How the devil could I be sure?
I will now call the medical evidence. Dr. Chalmers.
Yes, Mr. Coroner.
First of all, Doctor, as to this deceased's mental condition. She was a patient of yours, I understand.
She was, Mr. Coroner.
Quiet, please. Well, Inspector, this seems a cut-and-dried case. Taking all the evidence into consideration, only one verdict is possible. Suicide while the balance of her mind was disturbed. Mr. David Stratton, may I offer you my deepest sympathy?
Well, Chalmers, this time it really is goodbye.
Yes, Sheringham. I'm sorry your weekend was attended by such an unpleasant disturbance, but between ourselves, we can't exactly regret her departure, can we?
Indeed, no. David is free, and the verdict one of suicide.
Oh, the verdict was never in doubt, of course.
No.
All that fuss about that chair. Obviously, someone had moved it, hadn't they? Well, I must get on. Catch up with the day's work, or try to. You will look us up, won't you, Sheringham, if ever you happen to be this way again?
Rather, of course I will, Jonathan. Goodbye, old fella.
Goodbye.
Is that you, Frank?
Yes, Margot. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello.
There's a paragraph in the paper here about that inquest on Ina.
Oh?
Suicide during temporary insanity.
Oh, so that's that, isn't it?
So I imagine. Why?
Oh, nothing. Frank.
Yes, Margot?
Darling, if I don't tell someone, I'll burst. You can keep a secret, can't you?
Well, I hope so.
Yes, I know you can. Darling, Enid Stratton didn't commit suicide. Phil Chalmers tried to kill her.
What? Oh, I don't see how you can know that.
Well, I do. I know because Ina told me.
Ina told...
Frank, you'll swear you'll never breathe a word of this to anyone.
Well, of course not. But I don't see...
Well, you remember I was looking for you just before the last dance at Ronnie's.
Yes?
Well, I went up onto the roof and...
Go on.
At first, I thought there was no one there. Then I heard someone saying Margot in a choky sort of voice. Then I saw it was Ina, hanging on the rope.
What? Oh, my dear girl, she couldn't possibly have spoken if she'd been hanging.
But she wasn't hanging by her neck. Somehow she'd got hold of the rope and pulled herself up to take her weight off.
Good Lord.
I started running towards her, but she called out to me to pick up a chair that was lying close by, so I did.
Well, what happened?
She stood on it, of course, while she got her breath back, with the rope still round her neck. Then she began to let fly.
Let fly?
Oh, my dear, she was furious. The things she was going to do to Ronnie, Agatha Lefroy, David, Phil, everyone. She seemed to think there was a regular conspiracy to kill her, and that Phil Chalmers had been sent up to do it. And she was going to ring up the police and give Phil in charge for attempted murder. So, Frank...
Yes?
Well, I like Phil. Don't you?
Oh, rather. He's a damn good sort.
Yes. And, sweetheart, you would love me. Whatever you knew I'd done, wouldn't you?
Well, of course. But what did you do?
I pulled the chair away. Again.
Jumping Jenny by Anthony Barclay was adapted for broadcasting by H. Oldfield Box. The part of Roger Sheringham was played by Hugh Burden. Ronald Stratton by Trevor Martin. Colin Nicholson, Simon Lack. Dr. Philip Chalmers, Hamilton Dice. Laura Chalmers, Judy Bailey. Ina Stratton, Joan Newell. David Stratton, John Scott. Osbert Williams, Philip Cunningham. Agatha Lefroy, Monica Curtin. Dr. Frank Mitchell, David Bird. Margot, Sheila Manahan. Mrs. Williams, Molly Rankin, Inspector Crane, Keith Williams, the coroner, Arthur Ridley, and not as advertised.